Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. We're on a roll.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the American Adversaries here on 660 AM, 105.5 FM. I'm Dr. Ken V. Hex, sitting here on this side of the table. Just drove in on I-4, and the drive wasn't bad. I saw a guy with a Bernie sticker, and we'll talk about that in a little bit in the show. But just to catch up on what's been going on so far this week. Hey, Trump is still in the lead. Cruz is still running a strong second, and the group of also-rans is fading either further and further into the rearview mirror as Iowa approaches on the front here. Hillary is still not going to prison, yet. Bernie Sanders still thinks he's normal. And does anyone really understand any of it? I'll bet you my host across the table from me, Mr. Christopher Hart, does. He's here to tell you everything about it.
Well, you're the psychologist here. You're asking me.
And I'm lost.
But you're not lost, folks. You're in the right place if you're listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. That's right. We're here. We're live. That is Dr. Ken V. Heck. And I am Christopher Hart. Nicholas Cicero is on the bridge. 407-774-8255 is a number that you just heard was not a Budweiser. It was a Coca-Cola.
Although it should be.
All right. We'll get to those shortly. But we do. We got a big show lined up for you today. But we certainly welcome you to join us at any time. There are some new developments on the campaign trail, but there are also some developments off the campaign trail, if you will. Michael Medved was talking on his show about it. We're going to talk on this show about it as well, because I think we have a philosophical debate of sorts going on in the Republican Party, and it's between the know-it-all and the people who aren't supposed to know anything. So we're going to delve into that a little bit tonight. Good thing we got the skull doctor here
with us.
We'll also have a special treat for you in the second hour of the show. As a matter of fact, it will be in the second segment of the second hour of the show, so you can plan on this. And by the way, if you have any friends out there who might be interested in this, you got time now to call them and tell them to listen. We have Chris Tonto Peronto, who is played by one of the actors, of course, in the movie 13 Hours. Last week, I had an interview with Chris Peronto, John Tigg. Tigan, I guess it is. It's pronounced John Tigg Tigan and Mark Oz Geist. But yesterday I had the opportunity to interview just Chris Peronto, and I think it's a good interview. I'll leave that up to you, of course. But that will be in the second segment of the second hour of the show. And once again, I want to ask you, if you haven't seen the movie 13 Hours yet, to please go out and see it while it's in the movie theaters. If not, at least try to get it when it comes out on DVD. If for some way you can't do that, just try to get, you know, in front of a screen where you can see it. It's just more confirmation than anything else for us, but it needs to be seen. These guys need to be supported in every way, shape, and fashion that we can do it, and that's one way we can do it. All right, before we get down to the nitty-gritty and the red meat, so to speak, you, I understand, were the MC of a quite successful Highland Games last week.
What a great time we had, and the listeners that won tickets all came up and said hi, and it was
excellent.
A lot of fun.
Excellent.
Yeah, it was a fantastic Games. The weather was really good for the most part. Sunday morning was a little bit rough after that little tornado warning went through. You should have seen some of the tents. It looked like modern art sculpture. They were so twisted.
I can just imagine.
But, you know, you got a bunch of hardy people there, and we just bent it back into shape and started all over. Well, it was a lot of fun, a lot of really cool things, especially for the kids. They had little Quidditch games for the kids. They had fencing lessons for the kids.
Oh, cool.
You know, they had them tossing little yard logs as cabers instead of the big cabers.
But sure.
It was, and that was one of the most exciting things to watch, those little kids taking and tossing those things in the air.
Oh, it was a blast. I bet it was.
And we do it every year. So next year, put it on your calendar, middle of January, look for the Scottish Highland Games from Central Florida.
I understand it was a record turnout.
I believe I heard that, yes. We had over 22,000 people there on Saturday.
Saturday alone, that's right.
You know, and it was still, and we still didn't run out of beer.
so we planned ahead.
Yeah, they made a few extra truckloads, I think.
All right, good deal. Yeah, first of all, before we get to the national review. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, just stick around. But first of all, there's some significant developments that are going on in the world, and I hope we're not beginning to see a trend. Of course, you know that this past week, the Iranian deal officially went into effect and the sanctions were lifted. And as a result, or coincidentally, obviously there was a deal negotiated. Ransom was paid in a way for the release of five prisoners that were being held in Iran for various reasons. Mm-hmm. I'm not even going to call them charges, but reasons. Well, they were released, okay? And the Iranians, not only, of course, did they get the sanctions relieved, but, and that supposedly wasn't a part of all of this, but they also got over $1 billion, like $1.5 billion, not $1.50 billion, but I mean $1.5 billion for restitution for something or other that we did in the past. So now there are other people out there watching these goings on, right?
Yeah.
And so this is basically the crime of kidnapping. And the way you stop the crime of kidnapping is that you make it clear to the kidnappers that that it is a crime that will not pay. Now, I did a little research back when I was going to school, when I first started in college. And there, in prison, for instance, there's a hierarchy. And correct me if you know better than I do about this, Dr. K, but there's a hierarchy amongst the inmates.
Yes, there is.
All right? And you are sort of rated by the crime that you commit. At least that's the initial rating.
Initial, yeah.
Exactly. And I can change. But like when you come in, one of the first things they ask you is, what you in for? What are you in for, right? That's what everybody wants to know. What are you in for, right?
Right.
You remember the Arlo Guthrie song?
Littering.
And everybody moves away from
me on the bench there.
We don't want nothing to do that.
They create a nuisance, and they all came back.
So let's say, for instance, you go in and you're a high-ranking gang member. Well, you're going to be ranked pretty high in the prison in there, especially if you're in there for murder.
Yep.
Let's say you are a mob guy and you're in there for that sort of thing. You'll be high ranking. Any sort of sophisticated, what's considered to be sophisticated crime, you're going to be sort of started out ahead of the game, so to speak. Bank robbery. But then you start going down. And down toward the bottom of the rankings is kidnapping and then, of course, child molestation and that sort of thing. Those are the dregs.
Yep.
You don't want to go to prison for that unless you are, you like spending time by yourself in solitary.
Mm.
All right. So the whole point of all of this is the reason that kidnapping is ranked so low by prisoners in prison is because it's considered to be a stupid crime to commit because you're most likely going to get caught.
Yeah.
Now, that's the lead-in to the world that we have, thanks to Barack Obama. He has made it known to the world that kidnapping pays.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than being a stupid crime, it is a smart crime that you can get concessions from the United States of America. So, suddenly, three airmen turn up missing in Iraq. Three airmen. Now, airmen means security officers.
Right.
Right? Like the guys that you have seen or you would see in the movie 13 Hours, and lo and behold, you will hear Chris Toronto tell you in the next hour of the show that he knows one of those airmen. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, fast forward. Well, we just find out today that another 25-year-old student, I think it is 25-year-old student, quote-unquote, from Ohio, has been arrested in, quote-unquote, arrested in North Korea. I would liken that to being kidnapped in North Korea. and being held on being representing our government and trying to overthrow their government.
Yeah.
What you want to bet that they're angling to get some sort of concession from Mr. Barack Hussein Obama before good old Hussein leaves town in a year minus 2 days now.
Yeah.
See, this is the idiocy.
Yep. And it's just going to escalate.
It is.
Because the more he pays, the more it's going to get done.
And
that's the psychological mindset. It's, you know, it goes under positive reward.
Right.
If you reward a behavior, it's going to continue. It increases the chances that behavior is going to continue. So you're rewarding these people by giving them money for doing the things that they're doing. So right. They're just going to continue to do it, and it's going to get worse.
Exactly. It's going to get worse because they're always going to up the ante.
Well, you know, there's nobody that's going to do anything against them.
Right. For right now, anyway.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, Barack Obama's White House has announced that they are going to be easing the rules on visas.
Okay.
For people coming in from Europe, which now also, guess what, includes...
Oh, no. All those refugees that now live in Europe?
Millions of refugees who, because they don't have papers of their own, papers, please,
yep.
They'll be given European passports and deemed legitimate.
Wow.
And now, instead of toughening the process for allowing these refugees to come into this country, the president is making the process easier for them to come into this country. And people wonder why Donald Trump is where he is at.
Yep.
Donald Trump is only part of the responsibility. Yeah. The best way that I've been able to convey this is that history is on his side.
Mm-hmm.
Because of who he is, okay, yes, but because of circumstances. People see this going on, and then they look at the Republicans and the Democrats, and they see people with, you know, got a lot of talk, always had a lot of talk, but never really saw any action. And so now people are saying, well, I'm going to go somewhere else this season. Yeah. I'm going to buy my Christmas tree somewhere else this season. I'm going to do my shopping somewhere else this season. It's not rocket science. It's not rocket science.
People are just tired.
Exactly.
People are just tired.
They're tired.
You can only tolerate this for so long, and then the system starts to break down, and people just say, you know what? I'm going to vote for whatever because I don't like this anymore. And it's happening on both sides. Look at the Democratic side. You have an avowed socialist who is coming very close to beating the quote-unquote party candidate. She has to go further left to get his votes. But this is insanity. I mean, I'm sorry. It's so ridiculous to think that somebody like Bernie Sanders could get elected president of the United States as an avowed socialist.
It's insanity. At the same time, it's quite rational, if you will, because people, as you said, are so sick and tired of same old crap, just new flies.
Yep. Status quo.
Exactly. All right. Well, we got to take a time out because it's break time, but we will be back, and we're going to give you our review of the national review of the Trump candidacy.
You want to review that?
Please stay with us.
Wow.
Oldie buddy, good yeah, for you there.
Man, that's hurting my heart right now there, Nick.
I had Nick play that bump music for a reason, and I'm going to get to that in just a second. But Dr. K was just telling me an amusing story about a fellow who was feeling the burn this afternoon on I-4.
Oh, on I-4. I was driving here today. And I'm in a pretty good mood. I've had, you know, I had a decent day up until about 2:30 today. Then it kind of went south. But I'm clearing my head. I'm driving down to I-4, and a guy gets in front of me, and he's got one of those Elect Bernie bumper stickers in the middle of his window, right? And then underneath the subtype of the bumper sticker says, Real People, Real Power. You know, and I watch this guy as he indiscriminately changes lanes in front of me. I mean, he moves from the outside lane to the inside lane and the inside in the middle, and he's just all over the place, all without a turn signal.
He has the power,
baby. He's got the power. He's, you know, and he's got earphones in.
Of course.
So he's not even, like, attached to the rest of the world.
Right.
And, of course, he's got his window down because he's smoking, and he's flicking his ashes out the window because, hey, the world is your ashtray if you're a socialist. And then I noticed,
let's at least hope he was smoking tobacco.
You know, I didn't want that close of a look, but you know, and then I look on the back of his car, and yep, there's one of those Orlando City soccer, magnets is there, and I'm going, yep, okay, he's a socialist.
All right,
it all fits.
All right, now, actually, I wanted to use that to transition into this National Review thing. In case you don't know, just real briefly, National Review is the conservative rag, that is the conservative magazine publication, if you will, that William F. Buckley started.
Yes.
Okay, and he was the editor for a long time. I used to love, this tells you where I'm coming from, I used to love watching his show on television.
Yeah,
where
yeah.
he'd have those debates, you know, he'd be sitting back in the chair.
They were on PBS back when I was growing up, his debates, if I remember
exactly.
right.
Exactly, yeah. And remember when he had Muhammad Ali on there? Everybody was on his show.
Yeah.
And he wasn't afraid to debate anybody.
No, he was like, from what I understand, and make the comparison, he was all like Daniel Webster. Not the one we have now, but the original one,
way back when.
No one ever wanted to debate him because he was so good and his language skills were so strong. And Buckley was the same way. Yeah. He used words I had to go look up three times.
I know.
Yeah.
But he appreciated the adversarial form of government, which encourages open and adversarial debate.
Yes.
All right. Now, the National Review is now run by Rich Lowry. He's the head editor over there, and he evidently sought out a number of conservatives. I don't know how many he asked, but he got 20 or so. I've got the list here. If I have time, I'll go down the list. But it isn't so much important as who's on the list as to what they say, although I will say Mike Medved is on the list. Thomas Sowell is on the list. I would say Thomas Sowell is probably the most prestigious and smartest one on the list, but they all hold themselves. Mark Halperin is on the list, and by the way, he's on MSNBC all the time, but he's considered to be somehow a conservative commentator. Mm. But all of these people, according to Michael Medved, are the intellectual elite of the conservative movement. All right? They're the intellectual heavyweights, if you will. All right. Now, I want to go back to Bernie Sanders, because Bernie Sanders, and I'm going to get right back to, I'm going to bring all this around. Bernie Sanders has a new ad out. Just came out, I think, last night or today. And in the ad, he doesn't say a word. As a matter of fact, there are no...
the ad already.
Okay. There are no spoken words. It's all imagery, and it's all feel-good imagery, okay?
Okay.
And the musical track underneath it is, I forget the name of the group, but it's that song, Hope in America. It comes back from the 60s. Hope in America.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of like that.
Yeah.
Pardon me for not, carrying
the tune.
Sounds
like real people kind of thing. Yeah.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
And it's up
with people.
Yeah, and it's all positive imagery. It actually shows him smiling and shaking hands and kissing babies, that sort of thing, right?
Okay.
And it's kind of reminiscent of Ronald Reagan's Morning Again in America ads, except back then you had actually a narrator talking with it. This is just imagery.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Michael Medved on his show today says that is the best ad out that he's seen this election season. Now, he kind of described it, and they actually played a little bit of the music, but he didn't say why. Okay? And perhaps he hasn't even really thought why an ad that has nothing but imagery.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the guy who also, prior to this, saying that, said that he is one of the intellectual elite. Okay?
Yep, got it.
And then he points out that an ad that has no intellectual content whatsoever is the most effective ad the man who claims to be intellectual has seen this election season. And here is why. Because all of that imagery evokes emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet emotion.
Okay.
All right?
Got it. So
this is what these guys don't get, is that emotion rules the day when it comes to these big decisions in politics, and the intellectual side of the argument is lost. What they did in the National Review is this right here. They did a lot of crying.
Oh, I thought you put a frog in a blender.
What the this is a special edition of the National Review entitled Against Trump. And what all of these so-called intellectual smarty pantses do is come up with their great grand reasons why Donald Trump is not a conservative. He would be terrible for the Republican Party. As Michael Medved puts it, he would be a threat to the viability of the GOP. And he's talking in his voice when I say we cannot allow a hostile takeover of the GOP by Donald Trump. Well, I'm here to tell you that I and a whole lot of other people out there don't give not nary one tiniest little minutest little pimple on a gnat's ass hoot in hell about the GOP. What we care about is the USA. And that's what you doofuses don't seem to get. You people who are too smart by half. Okay? Now, I'm going to continue this on the other side, but if you folks have any thoughts about this matter, we'd love to hear it at 407-774-825. Can take it. We are here. We are live. 407-774-8255 is the number as we come to you on FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer, Christopher Hart here, along with Dr. K. That's Dr. Ken Vihek, sports psychologist, entertainment psychologist, comic, stand-up comic, comedy writer, owner of football teams.
We don't have time for all this.
Fashion.
I'm just sitting over here having
designer,
a good time.
Designer, all kind of stuff. My God almighty. What don't you do? Fashion photographer.
I don't date men, and it's not on my bucket list, okay? So.
Okay. Thank God for that.
All right.
All right, we're talking about the National Review article, and I'm weaving Bernie Sanders and a number of elements into this. So we have a caller on the line, Andrew, who has a comment or evidently about Bernie Sanders. Are you feeling the burn, Andrew? Thank you for calling tonight.
Well, Dr. K.
Yes, sir.
Hey.
Huh.
The guy at Orlando City stick on his car.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with socialism.
Oh, come on. Soccer's a socialist sport.
Okay. No, listen up.
I'm listening. Go ahead.
The most socialistic sport in the world is the NFL. It's all redistribution of wealth, okay? Soccer is like baseball. Hey,
it's boring. Go ahead.
Most money. So listen, don't go there. I just wanted to call to let you know. No, on the other side, the reason why people are supporting Trump, and let me tell you, I'm a legal immigrant.
Okay,
I came over here legally. The reason why people are supporting Trump is he's the only one that can stop Obama. That's it. It's not conservatism. It's he's the guy who can stop Obama.
You know, I'm glad that you said that because I was as I was driving over this afternoon to the studio, I was thinking sort of that. What I was thinking is that one of the reason why the Republican Party's in the jam that they're in right now is that they didn't stop Obama.
Right.
Okay, you see, they keep saying we need more. No, you have all the tools you need right now to stop Obama. You just weren't willing.
And the thing is,
right.
Cruz, God bless his soul, he's not going to be able to do it. So what I'm saying to you is, you know, that's why people, you know, when you see that stadium downtown have 30,000-40,000 people, They're not socialists. There's a whole bunch of people in that Orlando City stadium that's for Trump.
Yeah.
So I don't think you need to go there. And I just wanted to kind of call you to let you know that I don't think you need to go. Yes.
Okay. He was.
It's a global sport. Yes, a lot of immigrants play it. This, yeah. That, you know, America is getting into the deal right now because it has the most money. It's a sport that can be globalized.
Right.
Unlike a lot of these American sports. When you talk about money-wise, you know, when America take it over.
Yeah.
Which they're trying to do right now by getting into this FIFA thing.
All right.
When they take it over,
yeah.
I mean, it's going to be, I mean, the money is just enormous.
Well, I tell you what, I do admire the people who own the Orlando City Lions because they're building their own stadium with their own money, and that is quite admirable.
But they had to have the city help them clear the land.
You have to understand, Andrew, that Dr. K is part owner of an American football team, so he has a bit of a competitive edge through there.
But it's all
in fun.
And Andrew, let me ask you a question. Have you ever called here before?
No.
You see, it worked, didn't it?
Listen, Andrew.
I listen to the show. You know what I'm saying? I always want to call, but I just want to let you know it because I don't want you.
It's all in fun. But I'm glad you did call. And listen,
I'm glad to have you out there. That's awesome.
And if you want to stay on the line and give Nick your address, I'd like to actually have the Roxy's. Roxy Pacifics is one of our sponsors, and they make this product. It's all natural, and it's very safe to use for cuts, burns, any kind of skin ailments. Dr. K uses it because he's a diabetic.
Yep.
And
works great.
I use it because I'm always out there nicking and cutting myself up, and it's really great stuff. And they love to send bottles to our listeners, new callers like yourself. So, Andrew, excellent call. We appreciate the scolding.
Stay
on the line.
I appreciate you being out there. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
Thank you, my friend.
Stay on the line and give your info to Nick, and he will take good care of you, okay? So God bless you. And he's right. There are a lot of Hispanics who, and see, what he did is what I've been trying to do. You see, what these guys are missing who made who wrote these articles for the National Review, and I'm not going to list them all, but Glenn Beck's on there, Eric Erickson's on there, a lot of names you'd recognize, William Crystal's on there, mm-hmm. Dana Lesh is on there. I'm going to talk about her in particular because I saw her last night, and she is an example of what I've seen Beck and others do over and over and over again. And to me, it's just... The best way I can describe it is a lack of professionalism. That's the best way I can put it. But what they are missing is what's going to turn this election is going to be it's the economy stupid, it's national security stupid, it's border security stupid. Okay? Mm-hmm. And all the highbrow intellectual arguments aren't going to mean beans if you can't convince the people that you can do something about the economy, you can do something about national security, and you can do something about illegal immigration and the border.
The only thing is you can do all of that, but you have to want to do it.
Exactly. And people don't believe that either the Republicans or the Democrats want to do it anymore. Ed, you're up next. Ed, thank you for calling today.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Excellent.
And that Roxy Pacific is good stuff. I got the free bottle stuff last year and got some new ones since then. It works good on cuts and stuff.
Oh, that's awesome stuff.
That's great. And pets, too, by the way. It works really great on pets. Veterinarians are amazed when they see the results. Anyway, go ahead, Ed.
Okay, well, yeah, they're missing, you know, those elite, the talking head of the Republican elite, they don't really get how the American people are feeling. They're just so out of it and out of touch with it. The fact of the matter is, we're tired of Republicans doing the same thing that Democrats do.
Yep.
They think that there's a difference in the party. They do the same thing. They're just Democratic appeasers. And these guys writing that article, that's all they are. They're Democratic appeasers.
Well, they think...
They're appeasing Big Brother government. And at the same... And the whole time, we're looking here and we're saying, we're tired of open border treason. Because that's what it is. It's open border treason. You can't run a country without having border control. Or else you're going to be overrun. Yeah. So what we're facing is open border treason, and when somebody comes and says, hey, I'm going to put an end to this open border treason, these other guys are saying, oh, well, we can't really do anything. Oh, treason's kind of cool. We're just going to watch your country fall apart. You know, we're fed up with it.
Yeah, and that's the point. That's what I've been trying to convey on this show and trying to describe why Donald Trump is being so successful. You see, they're caught up in this. You know, they claim to be intellectuals, but they are so caught up in this emotionally that they have lost contact with their intellect. If you ask me, it's kind of ironic in a way. But, you know, a lot of these people are Ivy Leaguers themselves. They live in ivory towers or they have cushy jobs and they don't feel the pain like we do, and believe me, I feel the pain. I don't get paid by anybody to do this radio show except the sponsors, and they're paying to help me pay for the show. So I don't get paid to do this. They do. They get paid handsomely to do that, to be the keepers of the high knowledge, right? That's what they perceive themselves as. They are the keepers of the high knowledge, and therefore they can deem who is going to be a worthy vessel to carry forth the message and who is not going to be a worthy vessel. And they have determined, just like they did back in 1980 and 81 about Ronald Reagan, that this guy isn't a worthy vessel. Well, I'm here to tell you, we have a chance to put these folks in their place, and we need to do it. Ed, thanks for being out there. God bless you, and thanks for being motivated, and thanks for the testimonial about Roxy Pacifics. Okay, we got Craig up next. Craig, I'm sorry. We appreciate your call out there.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, you guys are very correct about that, and Trump is the only person in the world that can do what needs to be done, and that is pretty much eliminate everyone currently employed by the State Department and everything and replace it with his own staff.
Right.
And I don't think Trump is going to go a full 8 years. I don't think he's even going to go a full 4 years. So if he went 2 years and a couple of weeks, he could bow out. And if Ted Cruz is his VP, which hopefully he is, Ted Cruz could run for 10 years.
Well, like I said before, I would not be at all surprised if these two guys have a reunion somewhere down the line, mm-hmm. you know, when the time is right, either before or after the convention, because Medved laid out the strategy we now have heard from the elite. The strategy is to try to make sure you get to a convention with Trump not have – he's going to be the winner, but we can't let him have 50% plus one, so then he won't win on the first ballot, and then we'll put in our guy after that, and that guy will bring the party together. No, I'm here to tell you, if they go through all those machinations, they are guaranteed to lose this election.
That's
if you
right.
do not go with the people's choice enthusiastically, you are kissing poison, baby. And when you kiss poison, you get the ramifications from it. And I want to lay out a positive scenario, because all these people, they are of the concern that, oh, Donald Trump will be the worst thing ever for the Republican Party. No, the worst thing ever for the Republican Party is for what they have been doing. Like you and Ed have been saying, they act like Democrats. They have ruined the brand of the Republican Party. And I believe the only person who has a chance of turning that brand around and rather quickly is a guy like Donald Trump, who understands what branding is all about. And the biggest problem Ted Cruz has is not Donald Trump. The biggest problem Ted Cruz has is he has already been branded. And so when Trump brings up these little things and tweaks Cruz, they ring because he's already been branded. And that's his fault, not Trump's. Craig, thanks for the call. Appreciate you being out there. Dr. Now, K.
One of the things I was looking it up because I didn't want to misquote. This all reminds me of all the immigration, everything that's going on. Everybody's just going, oh, let it happen, let it happen. It reminds me of the Robert Urich TV miniseries that he was in called Invasion America, where he played a councilman that was sat by and watched as the communists came into our country.
Yep.
Got voted into positions, took over, and basically destroyed our country from within. I couldn't watch him as an actor for a long period of time after that.
Yeah.
Because he did such a powerful role. And I actually see it happening to our country right now, and right. It disgusts me beyond belief.
Right. It's a Trojan horse thing. They yeah. know they can't defeat us militarily in a confrontation, but if they get within us, they can defeat us from within.
Yeah. And how do they do that? First thing they do, they take away the guns. Then they take away the education, which they're doing a pretty good job of destroying their education system
they've
right
already,
now.
They've done that in reverse.
As a professor at UCF, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, all of a sudden, when you can't defend yourself, remember, a government that's big enough to give you everything is big enough to take it all away.
To take it all away, exactly, exactly. And so I can see a scenario where actually Trump would be the fountain of youth, if you will, for the Republican Party.
Yeah.
Because if he gets, imagine this, let's say just for a moment, he does win the primary, he does get elected to be president of the United States, and he's actually able to accomplish half of what he promises.
Yeah.
It will make the Republican Party look like the greatest thing since sliced bread.
But unbelievable,
see,
huh?
Because these doofuses don't approve of him, why they can't at all foresee that may be a possibility out there. They're so concerned. And they do what Dana Loesch has done and what I've heard Beck and his boys do over and over and over again and others, including Michael Medved,
mm-hmm.
is this, for instance. This is a for instance. Last night they were talking about eminent domain. And Donald Trump has brought out the reality of the situation. And when I was going to college, I worked for Hubbard Construction where they built roads. If you want roads in a community, you almost have to have eminent domain.
Yeah.
If you want shopping centers, the same. Because there's always going to be some guy or some person mm-hmm. that doesn't want to sell. Now, that doesn't mean that you can go using it willy-nilly here and there for anything. Do you know, for instance, that if we want... Do you folks like the Keystone Pipeline? Do you think the Keystone Pipeline would be a good thing for the United States and that we should build it?
Yep.
Do you know that there are some liberal property owners that do not want the Keystone Pipeline on their property?
Yep.
Do you know that it cannot be built unless it cuts across their property?
Yep.
So what we going to do? We going to do without the Keystone Pipeline, or do you invoke eminent domain? Now, here's what Dana did last night. Oh, eminent domain is awful. What they do is they come in like he built a casino parking lot, and they took a house away from an old woman. They didn't give her anything for it. They just come in and took it away from her, put her out, didn't give her no compensation. Okay. Okay, they invoked eminent domain. That's all she got right.
Yeah.
The woman was compensated quite nicely, believe
me. Very nicely, if I remember the story. Yeah.
I did a paper when I was going to college, studying, going for a master's degree, which I never completed, at UCF in political science. And I did a research paper on the use of eminent domain when sports teams like the Orlando Magic, because this was right about the time when they were building the arena, the original arena downtown for the mm-hmm. Orlando Magic. Well, there were several properties, if you remember, that was a neighborhood down there.
It was, yep.
Okay, and they went in and they bought out some houses. A lot of people sold. A number of people didn't sell. So they kept coming back with higher and higher offers. And what I discovered is that the people who held out the longest got the most money.
Yep.
And the people who held out and were finally eminent domained out of there did just fine. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and got far more than the property would have ever sold for, ever.
Yeah, one of the few attorneys that I count among my friends is a guy by the name of Stumpy Harris.
Yeah.
Right here in Orlando, and that's all he does is eminent domain law. And he has done well for people that we're going to get shafted otherwise.
Right. What means well for people is a lot of money.
Yes.
A lot of money at the end of the day. And so here she took a concern, eminent domain, and yet she made it into something that it was not. I have seen this MO, this modus operandi over and over and over again with these people misrepresenting this man, and it is totally unprofessional. And yet they make the big bucks.
Yep.
And I got to work like a dog to make sure we can keep this show on the air.
That's because, you know, on this show.
I love it, though. I'm not complaining.
On this show, we tell the truth, and on there, they get to fabricate.
I guess.
You know, so they have to be paid a little bit more.
I guess. Well, I wouldn't have it any other way, believe me, folks. Al, stay with me. I got to take a break. I'm overdue. When we come back, I promise I'll get to you first. And if you folks would like to chime in, 407-774-8255 is the number. And please don't forget the second segment of the second hour of tonight's show, Chris Tonto. Peranto, a little more from the movie 13 Hours.
Wonder if Al's car has a soccer sticker on it.
We'll have to ask him.
I guess so. Oh, there you go, Nick. Welcome back. This is the American Adversary, 660 AM, 105.5 FM. I'm Dr. Ken, sitting on this side of the bench, and over there are your host, Christopher Hart, and the Great Pretender. We're talking about the Invisible Man, the other person that's running with Hillary and Bernie. I don't even know his name. I'm sorry.
Oh, Marty O'Malley.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I tell you what.
O'Malley,
probably,
okay. Gotcha.
The most sane and frustrated member of the Democratic Party right now, anyway.
Wow, I knew absolutely nothing about that guy.
Don't Sorry. Need to.
Okay, good.
There you go.
I wasn't going to work too hard on it.
All right, we got a couple callers on the line. 407-774-8255 is the number. So let's go to Al. We got two Al's. Let's
got
go
two
to
Al's.
Al number one.
Al squared.
Al, yeah, exactly. Al, thanks for being out there.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I seen that ad today, and it's super powerful, and specifically the reason for that is because if you look at it, there's arenas full of thousands of people supporting Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
So they're showing the American people, look, we got a whole bunch of people behind Bernie Sanders. This guy is hot.
Are they actually arenas that he's center point in the arenas, or are they like taking shots of just arenas that have a lot of people?
No. It's they're legitimate shots of
the legitimate
yeah,
shots.
I saw the ad myself.
I haven't seen the ad.
Yeah,
so.
I know exactly what he's talking about. Yeah, it's peppered with shots of him in front of large crowds.
Okay,
correct me if I'm wrong, Al, but it's also peppered with shots of him with individual people shaking hands, smiling. It's like I said, it's emotional. It's so powerful because it's all imagery that creates positive emotions, and that's what Al is conveying here.
Right,
you
but
see,
it doesn't promise anything.
Right. But the point that I'm trying to make is that here you have these great intellectuals saying that one reason why Trump is unacceptable is because what they're basically saying is he's too stupid.
Yep.
Okay, he's not a smart enough conservative. He doesn't speak all the right words. He wasn't always the way they are. And by the way, many of them came from the liberal side of the aisle as well, including Michael Medved.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But Al, you're absolutely right. It's powerful because it's powerful, positive imagery, the whole thing. Am I not right, Al?
Yes, but you guys have a problem in your hand because these individuals are creating a bigger fracture. The Republican Party is already fractured.
I know it.
So these guys...
They just made it worse.
They're going to steal away the votes that you guys are taking from the liberals.
I can't see any conservative going and voting for a socialist.
I just can't see it happen. But it's a different dynamic. The people on the Democratic side aren't going to worry about what these intellectuals have to say. As a matter of fact, it will make Trump, I believe, more attractive because what these guys are saying is he's not a conservative. It's the argument Ted Cruz is trying to use. And by the way, they hate Ted Cruz's guts just as much. They don't want to see either one of those guys as the nominee. They want a Jeb Bush or a Marco Rubio. And it is their plan, yet still, to have that person, or who knows, maybe even a doggone Mitt Romney, be the nominee. Because once you get past the first ballot, should it be an open convention, then anybody could be the nominee. I could be the nominee. How about that?
Ooh, baby.
Al, you could be the nominee.
One last thing.
Go ahead.
One last thing.
Yep.
If Donald Trump didn't have his billions, he'll be taking money from Wall Street like the rest of them.
That's quite possible.
Yeah.
That's quite possible.
You know.
But then most likely. But that's why I say history is on his side. And when I say history, I'll include to a certain extent, this may make some of you very angry out there, God. Okay, because he has put this man in a particular place in his life and in history where he is doing things that no one else could do. You have to admit that, right? Let's go to another Al. Al, thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate you being out there. And I got 1 minute, so if you need to, we'll hold you over, but go ahead. Okay, I tell you what, we'll just go ahead and hold Al, we're just going to, it's now less than a minute, so let's just go ahead and hold you over. That's all right. We'll hold hold you over, Al, until the next segment of the show. So please stay on the line. We just don't have enough time to give you now. So
I just keep going back to what Margaret Thatcher said about socialism. You know, yeah. That sooner or later you run out of everybody else's money.
Well, see, but again, this is part of the brilliance of this Bernie Sanders ad. He doesn't say anything.
Right, I know.
You know, if you don't know he's a socialist, you will not know it after you see that ad.
Right, you have no idea where he stands. Ooh,
right.
It's a bunch of warm, fuzzy puppies.
Exactly.
There we go.
But see, that's the level that politics is mostly played on.
Yep.
It's not at the big, high-browed, intellectual level,
nope.
You see. Because
how the politicians make you feel.
Because politics is about sheer power and the use of power. It will never be an intellectual endeavor alone.
Ladies and gentlemen, sit up right up. Let's go see the elephant. We're on a roll on a honey.
Back. We are the American Adversaries. This is the extended drive time period. We are on 660 AM, 105.5 FM. I'm Dr. K, sitting here on this side of the bench. Over there, you have your host, Mr. Christopher Hart. We've been talking about all kinds of neat things. It's just going to continue. We've got the call lights are just lighting up all over the place. Can't wait to hear what people have to say. So let's get right into it. Chris, take it away.
All right, yeah. If you'd like to be a part of the show, 407-774-8255 is the number. Thanks for being with us. Yeah, in the first part of the show, we told you how another American has been taken hostage, I'll call it, arrested, the way the North Koreans are calling it in North Korea. This is after the three airmen were captured in Iraq this past week. I'm wondering if the bad guys in the world aren't back in the kidnapping business for ransom. We also talked about the National Review article that is out, a little bit about Bernie Sanders' new ad out. If we can, we'll get to some poll numbers in the second segment of this hour of the show, coming up after this next break. We're going to have Chris Tonto Peranto, who is one of the special ops guys, well, actually one of the security guys, who is featured in the movie 13 Hours. So I'll talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes. But real quickly, this article about the National Review is a bunch of high-browed, probably high-paid intellectual types have decided that they are the keepers of what is and isn't conservatism, the keepers of the great knowledge, and that if you are not a worthy vessel to carry the mantle of conservatism, you are a pariah to them. And so this National Review special edition, all of it is devoted to the title of it, which is Against Trump, and why these people are against Trump. People like Glenn Beck, Andrew McCarthy, Cal Thomas, Thomas Sowell, R.R. Reno, and no, I don't know who R.R. Reno is, Edwin Meese, Michael Medved, Dana Lesh, William Kristol, Mark Halperin, Eric Erickson, Ben Bowmench, Brent Bozell. That's about half of them. And what they all have in common, though, is that they think that they are smarter than thou, and that they are smarter than me, and just about everybody else. And I'm here to tell you that these folks are going to be very, very frustrated individuals indeed, because they are talking at such a high level that no one cares, except people like themselves. And I would simply ask this question to all of these very, very smart people who have gotten, it seems, lost in the weeds. I would ask them, do we need to elect a pure conservative, and what I mean by pure conservative, and that is one acceptable to them, and by the way, Marco Rubio is acceptable to them, most of them, Ted Cruz is not, now Glenn Beck he is, Glenn Beck's actually endorsing it, appears Ted Cruz, because he's going to be appearing with him tomorrow a couple of times. or at least over the weekend. But most of these people would rather have Jeb Bush. This is their idea of a true conservative, right? Okay? So I would ask them, do we need to elect a pure conservative by your definition, or simply someone who will do conservative things? Mm-hmm. Now, think about this for a minute. The other day on the campaign trail, as a matter of fact, yesterday, the grandson of John F. Kennedy came out and was talking bad about Ted Cruz, because Ted Cruz said if John Kennedy were running for president today, he would be a conservative. And here's why. He was for strengthening the national defense, mm-hmm. and he was for dramatically lowering taxes. All right? And yep. I dare say he was also for national security. Okay? Who has made those three things the cornerstones of his campaign? Donald Trump. Yep. So do we really want someone who is, oh, he is the darling of the conservatives, and yet who's just going to be full of bluster and whatever? Full of BS, in other words.
There you go.
Or someone who's going to come in there determined actually to get something done, because he has put his reputation on the line and would rather go out trying to actually get something done and not, rather than just go in there and play the same old game. Mm-hmm. And something that one of the callers, I believe it was Craig, mentioned there earlier, is that he's not beholden to any either party, you see. You see, one of the reasons why Republican presidents are oftentimes reluctant to do things that we conservatives want done is because they're worried about the next election, you see. Donald Trump is not going to care about the next election as much as he's going to care about results.
Right.
And once again, if he gets results, look out! It'll be the best thing that ever happened to the Republican Party, and here are all of these 25 high-browed people going to be sitting there looking at each other going, yeah, I knew it all along.
Yeah. Well, and the second election would be a little like a Reagan-Mondale.
Yeah.
Who was that? Did he actually run?
Yeah. What motivates Trump is getting things done so that he can say, look, I did that.
Yep.
Not a bunch of words. He will want results so that he can point to it and say, I did that. But folks, that ain't such a bad thing.
Yeah, think of the money we'll save when he uses his Gulfstream instead of the Air Force One.
All right, exactly. Okay, I want to go through these phone calls. I'm going to have to ask you to be right to the point, because in the next segment of the show, I'm dedicating it entirely to Chris Tonto Peranto. But you're welcome, if I don't get to you, to either stay on the line, and we will get to you eventually, or you can call back. But let's take them in the order they came. Al, you are up first. Thank you for calling.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Can you hear me now?
We can.
Oh, yeah.
Go right ahead.
Great. Awesome. Yeah, I mean, to that point that you just made, I'm wondering, is that like self-proclaimed, or was that an article proclaiming him? Were they coming out and saying that they were the holders of the truth?
Well, they didn't write the... In other words, there's not an article in the National Review that says that. I'm pretty much kind of putting words in Michael Medved's mouth. But he did say, he did claim that they are a group of the intellectual heavyweights, if you will, of the conservative movement. In other words, they're the ones who are the keepers of the great knowledge, you see. And they are the only ones who can understand what true conservatism is all about. And they're the ones who can only, you know, be the determiners of how things will come out in the future. And so that's why I said that. Anyway, go ahead if you have another point.
No, fair enough. And I can see how you could probably get that from Medved. He's like a historian or something.
Exactly.
Right.
But you wanted to make a point about eminent domain. Please make it.
Yeah. Talking about it, I mean, it made so much sense. And you know, I do agree with it. But, and you know, I usually agree with you so much, I'm just disagreeing on a small point. I think that it should be limited, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, with the pipeline, right, and taking out a pipeline.
Right.
I understand that, but
right.
I don't think I think the point of it is that I don't think that at any time that the government should be able to take your home from you and then just give you money as if that could take away the memories, or, you know, that person might have been there for 50 years or 150 years of the same house.
You're right. You're exactly right. And one of the options they gave to the people downtown was to move the house.
Right.
Okay, move it to a different piece of property. And some of them took advantage of that. So you're absolutely right. It should, and this is why it always has to go through the legal system. I mean, it's hard to get it done now, and that's the way it should be. It should be a very difficult thing to invoke, but it has to be in the tool bag of government if we want to have a society that has things like streets and hospitals and pipelines.
So if you find yourself in that situation, Al, call Stumpy.
There you go. Thank you, Al. God bless you. I got to let you go. Dwayne, you are up next. Thank you for calling tonight. Appreciate you being out there.
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Excellent.
I wanted to thank you. I was the one of the winners for the Christmas sing-off thing.
Yeah, congratulations. Yes.
Yeah, I got all my stuff, and it was wonderful. I put the bumper sticker right on my car.
Excellent, excellent.
Yeah, enjoyed the show. And yeah, I wanted to get in on this because it's funny. I all those same people have put forth this argument, and if you look back to 1976 when Reagan was challenging Gerald Ford, many of the same arguments were put forth against him.
But Dwayne, let me just interject, and I'll let you finish your point.
Yeah.
This morning on Bill Bennett's show, he has Mark... I can't think of his last name. It's off the top of my mind. Anyway, a fellow who sits in on for him every Friday morning, he read an article from May of 1980 in, guess where? The National Review, where it talked about how conservatives of that day were saying the same exact things about a guy named Ronald Reagan. The same things.
Yeah.
And look how Reagan turned out. Not too bad, was he? Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, and you know, I love to use this term because I heard it somewhere, but I'm the Trump humper. I'm not really totally enamored by the guy, but he's definitely got my attention, and I'm a little more Cruz-ish in my orientation.
For
that kind of thing, but it's just I see this field and I see the rhetoric. And everything they say is exactly what 4 years ago they told us we needed to do. We needed to diversify. We needed to get more people into the fold.
Right.
And then we get somebody that actually has the potential to do that.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's, wait a minute.
Yeah, we didn't mean it.
He's not acceptable.
And guess what? For you Cruz folks out there, they feel the same way about Ted Cruz. You could have changed Trump for Cruz, with the exception perhaps of Beck and maybe one or two others. They feel the same way about Cruz, that he would ruin. And now, who would you say is the most conservative of all of these guys? It's Ted Cruz, and they hate his guts too. So, anyway, Dwayne, thank you for the call. I really appreciate it. I'm up against the break, though. Ron, either give your number to Nick and we'll call you back, stay on the line, or hang up and call us back and we'll take you after the next break. But we're going to go to Chris Tonto Peranto for the next segment of the show. Please stay with us. Okay, welcome back to the show. And once again, folks, another special treat for you today. I have, again, one of the heroes that the movie 13 Hours was made about with us today, Chris Tonto Peranto. Tonto, thanks for being on the show today. We appreciate you, man.
Thanks for having me on, brother. I appreciate it. The honor's mine.
Well, you know, I look forward to meeting you. I hope we can at some point because I'd really like to shake your hand and thank you more appropriately. We have a mutual friend, Colonel Danny McKnight, and he thinks and speaks very highly of you.
Oh, Colonel McKnight is a man at Ranger Battalion. He's just a good human being, but you know, he's a legend. And so I couldn't hold his jockstrap. I'll be honest with you. He's just dead. I'm trying to be like him, but I got a lot of work to do. But no, that's awesome. You went up 3 points in my cool meter there, Chris.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. We feel privileged that he is a part of our show. He's a regular on the show. He wished he could have been here today. And once again, he says, Rangers lead the way.
All the way.
Obviously, what they went through was horrific, but I saw the movie, and what you guys went through was pretty horrific as well. How accurate, I need to ask you again, how accurate is that movie to the events of those 13 hours?
It's very accurate, You've got to meld some characters. So, like our interpreter over there in the movie, it's actually three separate interpreters that we had: two at the airport, and then our main guy that was there at the compound. But the things that were said to him by myself, that's completely accurate. The joking around, the dancing on all those comical, that was completely accurate. I had all that stuff. the beliefs, you know, the sayings about God in the movies. Those are all accurate. The combat scenes, especially the one with the annex, could have even been a little bit more ferocious, to be honest with you.
I was wondering about that. I thought maybe as bad as it looked, it was probably even more horrific in real life. You mentioned the interpreters. In the movie they depicted as one. You said there were three. Do you know what happened to them? Did they all stay there? Did any of them try to leave the nation, or did they all stay there? And do you know what happened to them?
The main interpreter, the guy that I gave, I remember. I remember going up to him and saying, "Hey." Yeah, we need you. We need you. And I remember handing my pistol. That guy, that was the main interpreter.
And so that really did happen? That scene in the movie really did happen? Because it was almost a comical moment in the whole thing.
I was comical that whole time. All those jokes, none of that is dramatized. And there's actually two other comical scenes that if you read the book, you're going to read them that weren't in the movie. And they were pretty funny. I thought they were pretty funny. They probably were inappropriate. And one of them's inappropriate for radio, but they were no. And that happened. I remember walking up, and I did. I said, "Hey, brother, we need you. I've been through this before
right.
in Afghanistan, where we link up with friendlies." And he goes, "I'm not weapons qualified." And I'm pulling out my gun and saying, "You are now. Go get your stuff."
There you go.
And he came back out looking just like that. He looked like a little turtle when he walked back out.
Yeah, with the helmet on, sort of crooked and everything.
All crooked and
gosh.
No, that's complete, and that's why we're. People watch the war movies that you have on nowadays, and I love Black Hawk Down. You know, I love Lone Survivor. I'll be honest with you, I've never seen American Sniper. They do make it too dramatic, and they want to show the hard hero aspect of it, or the alpha male aspect of it. But really, there's a lot of comedy, a lot of off color comedy that happened, and all those things that were. That Pablo did that played me, those were spot on what I did. And that is entirely accurate. Like I said, on the fight scenes, I might have cut off when I was talking to you about the battle scenes, especially the ones at the annex. Like, they were even more ferocious than what he showed. So, the critics, that's all they're going to have. The critics that come out and say, "Oh, this isn't correct. This is all fabricated. Oh, he didn't do this." Well, I guarantee 100% of them have never been in combat before. Not one of them.
Yeah.
And second of all, guess what? That did happen. And that's how it was. And if that's all you got is to try to say, "Oh, that they're over-dramatized everything." go ahead. You can say we over-dramatized everything. And all I have to say is were you next to me during that whole night? Were you next to Tig? Were you next to Oz? Did you see Ty and Glenn get blown up in front of your face? Have you ever seen anybody die in combat? Have you ever been experienced that before? Have you ever been shot at before? But the rounds are cracking by your head, and all of them are saying no. So critics can come at that all they want. We're telling the truth, and I hope people actually get in there and they do realize that combat overseas and us guys kind of do the job overseas. We're not all the tough guys people think we are. We're just like everybody else.
Sure.
It's like they have a good time, and we try to handle stressful situations in different ways.
Well, it seems to me that you sort of rely on both dark humor and religion to get you through it.
Yeah, definitely. God's there. God is always there.
Let me ask you, Chris. Since the movie has come out, Station Chief, going by the name Bob, says that he was misrepresented in the movie. He never actually said the words "stand down." Your thoughts?
Well, we were told to stand down, and we were told to wait twice as well. We only put wait once in the movie. Our relationship, mine and his relationship, was not positive. So that the portrayal of my character and Bob is pretty dang accurate. And so, we figured he was going to say that. I mean, what else could he? He, in our opinion, and whether it puts him in a good light or not, it's the truth.
So he was
could have been done differently.
All right. So he was depicted accurately. Hillary Clinton.
I feel that way.
Hillary Clinton was asked if she has seen the movie. She said she doesn't have time to see the movie. What do you think about that?
You know what? I could care less. If she doesn't want to see it, that's on her. If politicians that don't want to see it, I think everybody should see it in America just because it's a positive movie. It's an inspirational movie. I don't have anything negative to say about that. If she didn't want to see it, fine. As long as the American people are seeing it, I'm happy. I think every politician and everybody that wants to be a leader or is in a leadership position in America should see the movie and see what leadership is and what leadership isn't. When leadership doesn't work right, the people die. But again, you know what? She's got enough press off of us. I'm not going to even.
All right. Well, let's go somewhere else. All right.
Yeah.
13 hours, no help arrived. We know that there were calls for help. We know that assets were being prepared to be sent. The movie makes that very clear. But just recently, General Petraeus and former Secretary of Defense Panetta said that there's no way that anything could have gotten there in 13 hours. I want to know how they would have known it would have been over in 13 hours. And that doesn't seem to be right to me anyways.
And you know what? Michael Bay did a great job showing the locations of the assets and showing that those F-16s and F-16s at Aviano Air Base were getting ready to go. The guys on the ground there, General Hamm and the DOD guys, they were doing the right thing, getting people moving. For some reason, it stopped around midnight. So I don't see how people can testify to that under oath and that not be considered as perjury itself. And thing is also too is that politicians don't realize is we have friends on all those teams that were in the area that could help. Our community is very tight, so we do know that there were teams available, that teams were ready, that teams could have started moving, that teams were actually moving, as well as DOD maneuvering assets to get to us and getting to staging areas, and then it just stopped. So you know what? If they want to keep spitting that out, I can't stop them, but we're going to keep telling the truth. And Michael Bay, like I said, did a great job showing where those assets were, showing that they were moving, which is truthful. And then it just stopped. Because we don't have the answer of why they were stopped. That's why we didn't put anything in the movie to that effect of who stopped them and why they were stopped. We still want to know what happened.
Yeah, as do we. Absolutely. There's been three airmen kidnapped, captured, whatever you want to call it, in Iraq. Are you concerned that Benghazi could happen again?
I always think it could happen again. When you don't put security first or you're more worried about offending the host government instead of protecting your own people, it can happen. I actually do know one of the airmen over there that was kidnapped. I just hope he's, God bless him. I hope they get him and gets back alive. Because their community is very small, and us guys on the ground are the ones that actually see the effects of mistakes that can be made when you're on the ground or when leadership doesn't act in a manner that it should, which sometimes it needs to be aggressive. And us guys are the ones that see it firsthand of what happens to our buddies and experience that, and experience the deaths and experience the loss of friends. So I think it could happen again unless we take a harder stance and we are more aggressive in our security and more aggressive in protecting Americans overseas and abroad as well as in the U.S. Until we get to that mindset that we need to take care of our own. We're going to keep seeing terrorist attacks, and we're just going to probably see more here in the U.S.
Well, Chris, I know your time is limited. I've got to let you go, but I want to just say that when I saw the movie the other night, I felt shame, I felt outrage, and I felt motivated. And I hope a lot of other people felt the same way.
I hope that. I'm glad to hear you say that. I'm hoping that it does show people do get angry, but I love it. You said you felt motivated. That's what I like here, right there. That's fantastic.
Well, God bless you, man, and doggone it, Rangers do lead the way.
Well, all the way, sure. Tell Colonel McKnight, tell him hi for me when you meant. Tell him he's a fantastic Ranger, and God bless you as well.
And please pass on our same sentiments to Oz and Tig and all your great friends in the business. Appreciate you so very much,
yes,
Chris Tonto Peronto.
Thoughts that flash in the calm that cast long shadows of doubt. No matter how far down you hide them, they just spill out. So I hold tight to the edge of the night, and I fight on and wait for the light.
right, welcome to the show, folks. That's an excellent tune. It is the theme song for the movie 13 Hours. Dr. K?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, actually what I think is it's Carter all over again, only worse this time.
Only worse this time.
I mean, yeah. You know, Carter was inept. You know, he wasn't emboldened with a second term. Otherwise, it probably would have gotten this bad.
Yeah.
But you know, I lived through the Carter 444-day slap in the face.
Yeah.
And I just watched the trailers while the interview was going on, and I can't begin to tell you how upset I am right now. I really can't. You know, once you're in the military, you're always in the military. Once you see what's happening to your brothers in arms, the blood boils. And the inadequacy, the ineptness, and the audacity that this administration has.
Well, I tell you, as I told Chris, and by the way, that interview was recorded yesterday, and we would have played it last night, but there was a point in the interview, you didn't hear it because Jeff did such a great job, where we actually lost contact with him for a little while. So we put it together so you wouldn't notice that. But as I said, that night when I saw the movie, I felt shame.
Mm-hmm.
I felt ashamed.
Yeah.
That we would do that to Americans. And then I felt outrage. I just so much outrage. And I just felt like, I got to do something. I got to do something about this. Fortunately, I got a radio show.
Yeah.
So I had an outlet.
Yeah, fortunately, in November, we get a vote, too. So
And boy, don't you believe I'm going to use it. And with that in mind. And this is why, folks, please, if you can, see this movie. I beg you. You know, if you listen to this show very often, I seldom ask you to see a movie. I asked you to see American Sniper.
Yep.
I'm asking you to see this one. Please see 13 Hours. 407-774-8255 is the number. Diane is up first in this segment of the show. Diane, thank you for calling tonight.
Hey, you guys, I'm still cruising for Cruise.
Good for you, girl.
Hey, there you go.
Good for you, girl. And this thing ain't over yet.
It's far from over.
And the one thing I like about both Trump and Cruise is the establishment, the intellectuals hate them. So they are my guys.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, go ahead.
Great interview. Thank you so much. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Well,
It's very, sad.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you mad. Extremely mad. I've been mad since Benghazi.
I had flashbacks of 444 days. I really did. It was just it just brought it back to light.
Yeah. Pick a thing. I mean, pick Korea, pick Vietnam, pick it all.
Yep.
Yeah.
These guys are just, wow.
Yeah. They're just fodder. That's all they are.
Yep. Yep. Very sad.
Seen as expendable.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie also, you heard me mention the station chief, Bob. In the movie, the station chief makes it known to the security guys like Oz and Tig and Peronto and Roan and the other ones. And that is that they were all educated at Harvard and Yale, and they know what they're doing. And the security people are actually getting in the way.
Yeah.
You see, this is what we get from liberals and big government people. They're all so smart.
Yeah.
And this is why I feel, so this is why what these guys did with this National Review rubs me so much the wrong way. Because all of these people have been educated at Harvard and Yale or Stanford or somewhere where only the smart kids go. And they come out thinking that they know it all.
Mm.
Well, I'm here.
They'll be the first babies to go hire a gunman.
Yeah, you know? You better believe that when they need that security. Yeah, and at the end of the movie, and I meant to ask Chris, and I hope to get him back on the show again. I'm going to try really hard. But I meant to ask him because toward the end of the movie, Bob, the station chief, looks at one of the guys and he says, I'm proud to know Americans like you. Well, thank you very much. Why didn't you say it before?
Too little, too late.
Right. When now four Americans are dead, and the ambassador was tortured in the process.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Sean Smith, at least he simply died of smoke inhalation and didn't go through the beating and the torture. That when you see the ambassador's body, he didn't simply die of smoke inhalation.
Gosh, no.
Has injuries on his body that indicate he was alive when they were inflicted upon him.
Yeah. Yeah, you can tell.
Yeah.
But I'm glad to know that the guys did say in your last interview that what was going around about the extreme torture, it wasn't true.
Right.
That's good.
Yep, absolutely. All right, Diane, thank you so much. We so appreciate you being out there. God bless you. Let's see. Mike is up next. Mike wants to comment, I take it, on the National Review article. Mike, thank you for calling tonight. I appreciate you being out there.
Thanks, Chris. And I want, you know, you are the grand poobah of political science on the radio. I really appreciate you.
Well, thanks. But, that's only because I'm willing to entertain that which others are not.
Absolutely. And you're not afraid to ask why, you know. And I have these really smart people in parts of my family, and they hate that word. They hate why, because you're supposed to just swallow everything they say because they know better, and it infuriates me to no end. Anyway, yeah, the National Review this morning, I don't know, I'm sure you heard it, but on Bill Bennett's show, Mark Davis,
yeah.
Yeah, one of Bill's regulars, Dr. Marty, sent in a thing from May 27th, 1980, National Review. I believe it was written by William F. Buckley, and he was going off about how Goldwater and Senator Tower were all supporting Ford because he was conservative, and how Ronald Reagan was a populist nationalist and he wasn't conservative enough. And Buckley was just and if you were to transplant the word Reagan for Trump, it would have been the article that came out yesterday.
Right.
And what's beyond me is why do these people, I like all these people for different reasons, although, and you hit it on Medved a long time ago, but me, I stopped listening to him for a while because I don't like people belittling me because I think different and they supposedly know better.
Right.
And the only person who knows better is God.
Amen.
But if you read the Frenchman who wrote about de Tocqueville, his amazement was the founding fathers relinquished their power to the citizen, and the citizen's own enlightened self-interest was the best thing for the country, because the self-interest would all coalesce and drive people in a certain direction.
Right.
But that was all because they were all Bible learning,
believing,
reading,
God-fearing individuals,
living, yeah. God-fearing individuals. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever seen the old New England Primer. I bought reproductions of them for my kids, and they're learning them. They're like 100 pages long, but they teach the kids all the rivers in Europe. And with everything, there's a Bible verse to help you remember it.
That's cool.
And it's amazing. And these little tiny books
Educated
our country for 130 years.
Yep.
They had the Bible and these two little books. And I don't know what it is. They don't teach cursive writing anymore. They don't let them run around.
When we let the liberals take over the education system back in the 1930s, that's when we sort of threw in the towel on really educating our children to be, you know, knowledgeable about history and be able to continue the tradition of the American, you know, Judeo-Christian heritage. And it's an uphill battle since, because it's not being done in the schools. We have to do it other ways. And you're fighting against what is being done in the schools. So it's a very difficult battle, but that's what we're facing right now.
Well, my kids are 11 and 7, and they listen to their daddy. But then I tell them to go investigate on their own.
Yeah,
and
that's good, too.
Somewhere yesterday or the other day, somebody went on to a college campus and told kids that Martin Luther King Jr. and Malcolm X supported Donald Trump. And what did they think about it? And I said this to my son, and my son looked at me like, and he goes, they're dead. And the college kids didn't know that. But
I tell you what, that's what that guy, he's made a career out of it on O'Reilly, going around interviewing people.
Yeah, Waters.
Waters World, exactly.
Right.
All right, Mike, you're right on. God bless you. Thanks for being out there tonight. Doing a great job raising those kids. All right, Kelly is up next. Kelly, thank you for calling tonight. Howdy.
Hey, I agree with your past caller on Michael Medved. For different reasons, I can hardly listen to him anymore because he's just, you can tell how excited he gets if there's just a little teeny bit of bad news about Trump. He's just thrilled. But the main thing I wanted to say is I'm a Trump girl. I really like him. But I get really disappointed when he makes really shallow personal attacks at Cruz. Cruz did a good thing by calling McConnell out on the Senate floor and calling him the liar that he is.
Yeah.
So why does he have to make such low blows to Ted Cruz, and that makes me then question Trump.
Well, for one reason, to win. Mm-hmm. This is, he goes after his opponent's weak spots, what I call the pressure points. There are certain places on your body, like right behind your ear, right underneath like your earlobe. If you push on that a little bit, you'll feel pain.
Yeah.
Believe me, we used to do that when we were kids. We'd be wrestling with one another. The thing would do, hold your buddy down and then get one of those pressure points, because it doesn't take much pressure to cause a lot of pain. He has found Ted Cruz's pressure points, and he's putting pressure on them. And the reason he's doing that is that he intends to win this thing. Now, at the end of the day, like I say, don't be surprised if and when these guys make up and they're buddy buddy again. I don't think there's any real personal animosity there. I would not be surprised if there is more cooperation there than meets the eye. And this is just it's part of the game. It's part of the business. And you know, this is another thing. I happen to know that there are some people in the radio world, and I'm not going to mention names or anything other than that, that kind of think that this show, because we talk about politics being like professional wrestling, is somehow, shall we say, not up to the standards of true conservative talk radio.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
Well, shoe doesn't quite fit.
Yeah, because they're thinking that politics is this grand high pursuit of human beings, and you have to have intellectual purity and intellectual this and intellectual that. No, it ain't. Politics is the struggle for power, the power to exert your will over others. And it will always be a nasty sport because of that. And when you have to get others behind you, it will oftentimes, more often than not, involve the emotional rather than the intellectual. That's the bad news for Republicans. The good news is Trump is showing them how they can do it, too.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the part of the equation that the Republicans have never really seemed to get. For instance, some of their criticisms against Trump is he's doing what Democrats do. Yeah, he's making emotional arguments. You better believe he is, because he understands that's how you win. And so don't take it personal. And for all you Cruz people out there, don't take this personal. Trump is doing this so he can win. But at the end of the day, if Cruz is can be an asset to him, Cruz and he will get back together. There's no question in my mind about it. None.
Good.
Nope.
Well,
not at all.
Worked out. Thank you so much. You guys do a fantastic job, and that was an excellent interview.
Oh, thank you very much. It's always easy to do an interview when you have an interviewee like Chris Tonto Peronto. I was just, you know, it was an honor.
That was amazing.
It was an honor and a privilege to do it. So thank you very much. I really
thank you.
God bless you. Thanks, Kelly. All right, we got somebody else on the line, but I'm going to ask you, Brian, our good friend Brian Steibel, to stay on the line. Brian, I got to take a break. One more break for the night. We'll come back with Brian's call and a few words from Dr. K.
Yeah. We could do that.
All right.
I can always find something to say.
I want you to talk about your friend.
Oh, yeah. Well, appreciate that. Thank you very much.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, folks. I hope you're ready for a chilly weekend, because the cool air is once again on the way. But, hey, we could be in Washington, D.C.
This is true. We could be up north, you know.
Mm-mm. Another good reason to stay out of that town.
Oh, yeah. Another real right. good reason.
All right. That's Dr. Ken Vihek. I am Christopher Hart. You're listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. Brian Steibel is on the line. Brian used to call the show much more regularly when he lived around here, but he's living, I take it, still in Miami right now. Is that right, Brian?
Yeah, I'm in Miami, at least for the time being.
All right. Well, thanks for calling today.
Look, you were in Tampa for 2012. I missed that convention. I've only been to one either Democrat or Republican National Convention, but I was in Kansas City in 1976. In fact, I was on the floor, not as a delegate, but as a radio reporter.
Yeah.
I was on the floor when Reagan's name was introduced, and I could see, even though I was not a Reaganite then, I was a centrist even in those days, but I could see that Reagan was the future of the party if he could just hold on, because he wasn't young even in 76, much
That's
less
right.
1980.
Yeah, you're right.
But that's not your analogy of Reagan to Trump. Look, I haven't seen the National. I haven't read the National Review firing squad yet, but I know one of their central complaints, and that is that Trump is injurious to the structure of the Republican Party.
Right.
And I see important historical aspects to that that I presume a lot of the writers, or at least several of them.
You're right. You're right. You're right on. That's a great deal.
That said, here's why the Trump or the Reagan analogy breaks down, Chris. Nice try, but you missed this one. Because Reagan, first of all, Reagan got a lot of his ideology working for GE, going around making all those speeches back in the 1950s.
Right.
And, of course, marrying Nancy Davis had a lot to do with it as well, as satirized on Saturday Night Live when Ron Reagan guest hosted. But there was a lot of truth in that sketch.
Yeah.
But also Reagan worked things out, and this is when I became a Reaganite. I became a Reaganite not in Kansas City at Kemper Arena, but rather in Houston when I was living before I moved out to L.A. in 1978. For 2 years, I listened on AM radio to Reagan's commentaries, and I knew they were, I had read about them, I knew they were written by him, and they were all brilliant. They were all in the 90-second format, but everyone was brilliant, and after about a year and a half of that, I was a solid Reaganite. And, of course, I supported him in 1980, and I also am proud to say I saw him twice when he was in office.
Yeah.
And I saw him arguably on his greatest night. I had one pass. I had one media pass, but I snuck my girlfriend in past the Secret Service at the Century Plaza Hotel.
Shame on
Reagan's
you.
Re-election night.
Shame on you.
We got in there. We were only about 25 feet from Reagan when he came down to accept his re-election. I'm so proud to be a Reaganite, and I wish Trump was a Reaganite, but he isn't.
Well, okay. Well, Brian, real quickly, and then I'm up against the clock, as you know. I'm at the tail end of the show. Next time, call in a little bit earlier, if you would, please. But I wasn't so much trying to say that Trump is like Reagan as the what we were using today is the article that appeared in the May 7th edition of the 1980 National Review is many of the criticisms that they were using were similar and exactly, in many cases, the same as are being used against Donald Trump.
I understand that, but books aren't ideology. Reagan may not have written books, but he wrote a lot of radio commentary.
Yeah, I understand.
I heard almost every one of them.
Yeah, I understand, and Reagan was far more advanced, philosophically speaking, than not only Donald Trump, but I'd say a whole lot of other conservatives out there today as well.
I'd say the entire field.
Yeah, but that isn't quite the analogy we were making. But having said that, I got to let you go, and thanks for the call. Thank you. God bless you for being out there, and don't wait so long to call back, okay?
Hey, Brian. I want to thank you. It's been a pleasure being on with a radio legend such as yourself.
Absolutely. All right. Next up is Rick. And Rick will be the last phone call we have time for tonight. Rick, thank you for calling. We appreciate you being out there.
You probably never thought you'd hear me say this, but you know I'm not a Trump fan, but I Ted Cruz to me is worse. I thought Trump's speech on how New York values was a nasty comment. I thought it was brilliant about 9/11 and everything. And, you know, if a person runs for president, you can't diss an entire state. You've got to run as president of the entire country. What if somebody said about Romney, oh, he's got Utah values? I mean, it's the same narrow-minded. And I resent it as a Northeaster. I thought it was horrible. And I'm glad just Trump just put him down.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it. I thought that it was a blunder myself.
Mm-hmm.
I think that probably Ted Cruz is a young guy. Okay, he just turned, I think, 46 or 45. God bless him.
Yeah.
I'm feeling old.
Oh, man.
He has a chance to still do this if it doesn't happen this time. Okay, for all you Cruz supporters out there, if it doesn't happen this time, he's got more chances. And perhaps he's getting some experience. That
in 8 years, he'll be 54. There you go.
Exactly. And getting experience
still
that he can
younger
use
than me.
Going ahead. I know. So, once again, like I said, though, Trump is going to find those weak spots. He's going to put pressure there. And it's going to hurt, and because he means to win. Okay, enough politics for tonight, because life is all about loving and having family and friends and living and dying.
Yeah, yeah, unfortunately, the latter part has to happen. I mentioned earlier that my world was going pretty good until about 2:30 today, and I received a phone call that a former patient of mine and someone who became a very dear friend has passed away at 2:30 today. Little background information on him. He was like the guys in Benghazi. He was in Vietnam, but he was a combat medic in Vietnam. Carried a weapon. I don't think he ever fired it because he was too busy taking care of the other guys that were shot.
He was the guy that responded when guys were out there screaming.
When the guys
medic.
Were screaming, medic, medic, he's the one that ran against the bullets to get to the guy to you know, work on him to hopefully save his life. And Tommy Rizzo was his name. He did a lot of good in this community. He started a chapter of what's called the Vietnam Brotherhood that is, as I understand it, tomorrow night over in Daytona, the veterans organizations all are having this convention, and the Vietnam Brotherhood is going to be named the Veteran Society of the Year. And it was due to his efforts early on that started this organization. It became a very benevolent organization. Very charitable, did a lot of great work with veterans, worked as service officers, just does amazing things. And here's a guy who gave and gave his entire life to the service of his fellow man, even in the most dire of circumstances, you know, and often to the, you know, just, you know, giving up his own life, you know, throwing his own life, caution to the wind to go up and save somebody else. He'll be very sorely missed.
Tommy Rizzo.
Yeah.
Please keep him in your prayers tonight, folks. His friends, like Dr. K and his family.
Yeah. His wife, Laura, is going to need some assistance, and I already offered up to do as much as I possibly can to help her navigate the VA waters and whatever else she needs. So,
we owe our everything
to
folks like Tommy Rizzo and Chris Tanto-Peranto and men and women who are brave enough to put on the uniform.
And go out and do what's asked of them, and oftentimes to break the rules and do things that aren't asked of us that just need to be done.
They have to be done.
You know, you don't leave anybody behind. And I think it'll be the first time in Tommy's life that he's leaving somebody behind, because he's now going up to, you know, be with God, and he's going to leave us here.
All right. Well, we're going to leave it at that, folks. Please see the movie 13 Hours. Good night, everybody.
Yep. Go watch some more heroes.
Come
thanks, everybody.
Be in my darkest hour, when the sun goes down, in a fight that I never won, on unfamiliar ground. Maybe I'm walking on a wire that can never leave.
News, opinion, passion. FM 105.5 AM 660. The Answer. WORL. Altamont Springs. Orlando.